Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have my good friend Rossi with me. We're going to be talking about Derry. Welcome to Derry. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about this. I'm excited to have my good friend and co-host with me tonight. Talk about this. Geek out about some stuff. Tell me what you guys think on the live chat, and let's go on ahead. Let's do this, guys.
What's up, John?
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing much. How you doing, Rossi?
I'm doing good. What's up, you guys?
And, you know, this is our second episode. It's called The Thing in the Dark. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff within Derry itself that is very eerie and creepy. I wanted to start off by talking about the two cops that are watching Veronica's house.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of meat there to be able to talk about.
Right.
Because of the fact that, remember, they said that there was no blood, that they didn't find any blood inside the movie theater.
Right.
And then you can tell it is manipulating the adults because they're not able to see the blood just as Veronica and everybody else is able to.
Right.
You have Mike's dad arrives, and that's the little kid. That's the Mike's dad is actually the little kid belonging to the major.
Yes,
that's gonna. And so you have that. You have Will Halen. That's who. Arrives late for class. Major Halen. They found the person responsible for breaking into his room.
Right.
So, what do you think about this opening scene?
The fact that. The fact that you see how gruesome the kids were killed, but they can't find any blood. But when Lily walks out of that theater, the blood's all over her. And the fact that Ronnie knows and Lily knows, and the cops are trying to pin it on Ronnie's dad because he owns a theater, even after being told that he wasn't there, it's like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. The opening scene, it was really good. Couldn't wait to get for them to go further into it because I wanted to see Ronnie and Lily and them get together and talk about what's going on. Because remember, Lily said something to the cops that Ronnie feels is the reason why her dad's being arrested. It's why,
right, because remember,
it's the reason why they're after her dad.
Yeah, because if you remember, she's like, well, what did you say to say about my dad and everything?
Exactly, right.
Like, did you say anything? What did you tell him? He goes, I didn't say anything. All I said was your dad wasn't there.
Right.
And that was it. So pretty much she just tells her, hey, you're in the clear. You don't have to worry about child services coming to get you or anything.
Yeah, but Ronnie's like, you didn't tell him what happened, though.
Right.
Like, you're not telling him the whole story. And if we remember, Lily just got out of, you know, the mental hospital. And so she doesn't want to go back. So she's kind of afraid, as I understand, for her to go into detail of what happened there. She just let them know, you know, Ronnie's dad wasn't there.
Right. Yeah. And I completely understand why you would not want to say, hey, look, these kids got butchered inside the movie theater. Yes. There's blood all over. Don't you see the blood on me? And of course, there's
exactly
no blood.
Exactly, right.
You're going to end up calling up the mental institution again, be institutionalized.
Right.
And so I don't blame the girl for not wanting to talk about it.
Yeah, and also, I feel sorry for Ronnie. I feel so sorry for her because it depends on Lily kind of telling them everything that's going on. And I mean, and I get where she's coming from because that's her dad. They both know her dad wasn't there. They both know what happened. But Ronnie doesn't really care after Lily explains to her, I can't go back to Juniper. I don't want to go back. So I can't tell them the whole thing. I just let them know that your dad's not there. And to her, it's like, that should solve everything because to a child's mind, I told the truth. He wasn't there. I couldn't go into the other things.
Right. Exactly. And I don't blame her. I mean, she's here's the thing. You already know it is already manipulating this whole entire thing.
Yes.
Because only the kids are able to see the things that they're seeing.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, I have to do this in order for me to be able to look like I'm sane, even though I know what I saw. And I just felt bad for the both of them because they're in this situation together. It's like, hey, either one of them are wrong or right. It's just the circumstances that are standing around it, you know, of this darkness that won't leave them alone. And nobody can see this darkness.
Right. And then you're looking at the fact of the time, you know, in history that this is happening, you know, you know already that, you know, when Ronnie hears her grandmother and her dad talking about this incident and how they're going to, the dad's like, I know they're going to come and get me because, you know, two little white kids were, or three white kids were totally demolished in this movie theater or disappeared. And
this movie theater,
you know, at the movie theater, and it's his movie theater. And it's kind of like, you know, the black guy, you know, they're going to come for him. They're going to get him because he was supposedly there when he wasn't there.
Exactly.
But it's his theater, you know, so.
And also, too, the grandmother's like, you see, you filled her head with all this stuff with movies and things like that, that you're making her forget about who she is and the color of her skin to the point where she's forgetting about everything. He goes, look, it's not about that. It's about escapism. It's about trying to get away from all this that's around her.
Right.
And just go to a movie and forget about everything that's going on.
Right.
And so he goes, look, she's going to be going back to school. So everything's fine. So you have that happening, and it's also dealing with racism. While you're also dealing with racism over there with the children, you also have Major Hanlon, who's also dealing with racism after what happened to him.
Right.
And he got jumped, and then come to find out that his sergeant was the one who was trying to test him to see how his memory was. Because remember, he said, well, I wanted to test your skills because of the fact that in your medical history said that you didn't, your memory wasn't so good or anything like that, and I wanted to test and see how your memory was, and he was able to recognize the gun. That would have pissed me off, and I don't blame Hanlon for being pissed off about that.
You know, it's funny because when I first watched that scene the last episode, I remember thinking when the guys come in the gas mask, I remember thinking to myself, is it a setup to see if he would give away secrets? How trustworthy is he? So I kind of felt that maybe it was a setup just to test his loyalty to see, you know, because, you know, and then finding out that, that's what they did. But the fact that you beat him, you know, you hurt him in the process of making sure that he's the one that you can go and take to this secret site to share this information that they have on, you know, what's going on in that town and the burials that's been going on. So yeah, I was with the major, you know, how dare you set me up? How dare you do that to me?
Right. And even the major is like, hey, look, I wasn't supposed to go down that way. Right. That's why everything happened the way it happened. I am sorry. And he was, remember, Hanlon even went over to the Mathers. And he said the person who was able to blow that gun out the way it did, you would need two hands in order to do it.
Right.
Let me, and then I like how he gets him pissed off enough to where he's trying to load the gun and he can't do it.
Right.
So he's also doing reverse psychology on him, just as the major's also doing the same thing, but it's also to clear an innocent person's name.
Yeah.
And that's something that I like about, this guy's an asshole, but at the end of the day, though, he's not, just because he's a douchebag doesn't give him a right to send somebody off and sentence him for something that he didn't do.
Right. And I love that about the major because you know, in that scene, you see the integrity that he has, you know, no matter how racist you are, you know, what you've said or knowing that you don't want me here or like me as your superior because I'm black, I'm still not going to do that to you. I'm not going to have you take the fall for something that I know now for sure that you did not do. So I love that because you really get the sense of integrity that the major has and what kind of man he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, too, I like seeing Will coming out of the car and also Hanlon just showing the family man that he is.
Yeah.
And stuff and the love that he has for his son and his wife. So I like the family man aspect of that. And then you have Veronica now. She's having nightmares of her drown. And this scene blew my mind.
Oh my God, like,
so we go into the scene. It looks like that she's underwater.
Right.
And she's drowning.
Right.
Then you see the covers go over her. and this water is still coming in.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, she's having a nightmare about her mother giving birth to her. And then, you know, it's just gruesome on the way this happened.
Gosh,
and her own mother blaming her for killing her during birth because of how bad and bad it was.
Yeah.
And then it is actually using her, use the mother as a vessel to do this.
Right.
And yeah, the way that it just spits her out and slides her out, I'm like, oh, that is gruesome.
Dude, that scene. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Go on ahead. Go.
Okay. I'm sorry. Guys, you know, John and I geek out over this stuff. That scene, John, was an amazing scene for someone that is a fan of horror and you know, the graphics and just the makeup that's done. That scene was absolutely frightening, but amazing when you realize it's her being, you know, the mom giving birth to her, like John said, spitting her out, and she's laying there. And, you know, at first you're like, you don't know, like I didn't catch it at first, but dude, the way that they made her look, I'm talking about the mother, mm-hmm. the scariness of being trapped in that room. You think that she's going to go away and she's still there. And then the mother's voice changes and the looks that she has and just how she's just up on that bedpost. I mean, that scene and then her getting up and running after Veronica, dude, that scene was,
that's not just that, that though, scene Rossi.
Was awesome, but it was so scary.
Not only that, but the damn umbilical cord is still attached to Veronica and it's pulling her in.
Yes.
And then it's and then you have these giant teeth. That's her, that's the vagina, I think. Or
yeah, might be, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just pulling her back in and going to chop her to pieces.
Right.
I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, dude. That scene was crazy. Like, I mean, that's what you want when you watch a Stephen King film or series like this. You know, you're looking for that type of scare. But I have to say, so far, they've done really good with scaring the hell out of you and just the different monsters that they have and the vagina being the with the mouth and it looks like a Venus flytrap or some stuff, you know, something like that. But it was amazing. Her and Ronnie fighting. I mean, she's fighting for her life to get out of that room and that umbilical cord just sucks her back in and she's pulling away. I mean, that scene was an amazing scene. What a great scare.
It was a great scare. And also, too, that was all practical effects as well, with mixed in with maybe some CGI, I think I want to say. But
yes,
perfectly well done, perfectly well executed on the on the special effects team on doing that. And it just gave me the willies. I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. because I thought for sure Veronica was a goner right then and there.
I did too. But,
you know, then all of a sudden her father comes in and everything and makes sure that she's okay.
Right.
But that scene was just shocking and terrifying. Then you have the military digging up, digging up stuff, right?
The Indians
are watching, Halloran, and the general is fed up with him. They know about his gift, which is the shine.
Right.
Because Dick has the shine from The Shining, and Dick is also now responsible for this whole entire military dig up.
Right.
And it is on Indian burial ground that they're on.
Yes.
So you see these Indians seeing them digging up everything they could see just to capture this one thing that they're looking for. And we don't know what we know it's it, but we don't know why they're trying to weaponize it the way they are.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting to know that Dick was involved in this whole entire military operation, not knowing what he's involved in, even though he's able to have the shine and read people's thoughts.
Right.
That shows to show you how much he's allowed to know and not to know, in a sense, and how much freedom Dick actually gives people to be able to do the job he does. And even when we notice, too, where it's like, well, this is a top secret. Remember when the first episode where they come in drunk and everything?
Yes.
Top secret information, top secret mission. Now we know what that top secret mission is. But what do you think?
No, when they're coming home drunk and you know, he's letting them know, I'm a spy. I've got some things going on. You know, they make a phone call, you know, confirm that, yeah, he's good. But when you see what he's able to tell them, you know, there's something down there they end up finding it. And I was wondering, when you see all the holes, like, what is it that they're looking for? Because they're quite huge dig sites. I mean, there's like four or five of them. But when you see what comes out of there, it was like, just what the hell's going on? What do we have going on? You see the car, you see it being pulled up. Can't wait for the next episode. Like, honestly, guys, John, I'll tell you this. I am so hooked to this series, and I'm happy it's only episode, two right now, but so good. And I also want to mention about the town when the major's wife goes out on her shopping trip and she's walking through town and there's some people that are nice, you know, but the eeriness of the people in that town, it's the weirdest feeling that you get is kind of thick in the air, and how she's noticing the oddities is not just her being a Black woman walking through town. It's the oddities of the people. And when she goes into the butcher shop and those kids are beating up a little boy, mm-hmm. the bullies, and she looks and notices no one's saying anything, which I thought was odd too, because why are grownups allowing this to happen? And then you find out what type of woman she is, because she runs out of the store and she stops it. But they look at her like she's the problem. Like, what are you doing interfering in what goes on in this town? So the town itself is just creepy, and the people in it is creepy. Something's not right.
Right. And, you know, I like the fact that she's like, aren't you going to stop it? Boys will be boys. Right. You know how it is.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, boys will be boys, but they're about to end up putting this kid into a hospital.
Yeah. And she stops them and they run off and they're still still chasing after him, which I thought, yeah.
Well, even Henry Bowers did that, though, with the Losers Club, for instance, where somebody would break up the fight or something.
Okay.
And they would still go ahead and go after a certain kid.
Okay.
It didn't matter. It's just the way it was. I don't want to say, well, it's the 60s.
Yeah, but right.
Kids are crazy back then. But it just goes to show you how much it has control, even with that.
Right.
With the manipulation of the kids and the bullying and just amplifying it to a 10.
Yes.
You think about it. And the adults are just looking the other way.
Yeah. And don't want to be involved. Don't get involved. Don't say anything.
Like, not my business. Hey, boys will be boys, huh?
Right. But even when Lily goes to the scene when she's, you know, when she's grocery shopping and she goes in a store and she has her list. And creepy, another creepy part is the people that are behind her that are kind of, you know, just kind of leaning out. She looks back there. They're not there. She hears whispering. The looks on their face, the little boy with the mom, the boy in the cart with the mom, and how they're just staring at her. That scene in that grocery store was also another killer scene. The pickles and the damn dad being in the pickle jar. Dude,
that
creepy,
was
creepy. That, this poor girl.
Well, I even put this, like, Lily shopping the whole aisles, like we were saying. But not only that, but if you look at the background, because I'm always looking at the background with certain things. The aisles are moving with her.
Yes.
As she's moving.
Yeah.
Looks like a mouse maze on the way they're trying to trap her into this situation.
Yes.
And everybody knows that she's also part of Jupiter, the mental institution.
Yes.
And so next thing you know, she gets blocked in, and then the father's head is in the pickle jar.
Oh my gosh.
Then he wraps Lily around her neck.
Right.
And stuff, and then Lily picks up the head and smashes it.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, it gives me goosebumps, and I was just horrified with the pickles. And matter of fact, my wife has a pickle jar, and I'm like, nah.
No.
She's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting this up. It needs to be put up. Aaron might break it.
I was just, we just went grocery shopping, picked up a big, big jar of pickles just like that. Same thing. I saw those pickles and I instantly thought about, oh my God, we just picked up a big jar of pickles like that. But her looking at her dad, smashing the pickles, and then he is putting himself back together, because remember, he's sliced. He's been sliced up in an accident at the pickle factory. Dude, that scene was just creepy. Him just kind of slithering towards her, him trying to give her a kiss, sticking out his tongue, dude.
Yeah.
That was just creepy.
I'm telling
and
you.
And this poor girl.
This poor girl's horrified.
Yes.
And then when she smashes the jar, then everybody's just standing around her. And he goes, and Lily, what's wrong with you? He winds right. up, then after that, it just runs off with her running, I think, or something. But
yeah.
that scene spooked the heck out of me to the Absolutely. Point where I'm like, I don't want to look at a pickle jar. I'm right. good. I don't need nothing right. like that.
Exactly.
I do want to mention this, but Veronica and Will in detention, cops outside escorting Lily, yeah. kids missing Henry, and then get this. There's an Easter egg here with Henry Bowers' dad, which Henry Bowers is actually the bully from It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, and that's his dad. And he is over there talking to Lily, and he's telling her, well, you know, we found blood. I'm like, wait, I was yeah. like, no, you didn't. Because yeah. the other two cops said that they didn't find blood. So this is it manipulating the whole entire thing to separate yes. the friendship, because he knows. And then it goes into It Chapter 1 where they were trying to split up the Losers Club, right?
Right.
So the kids at the Losers Club were actually smart. They're like, you know what he's trying to do, right? He's trying to separate us so that way he could pick us off one by one.
Right. Right.
And this is the same thing he's doing here.
Yes.
And using the cop as a way to do it. You know, but it's just him manipulating this whole entire scene here, manipulating yeah. her, telling, basically making her snitch on the father to make it yes. look like that she's not crazy. Right. And that way she looks like the bad guy. And therefore, the father has to go away in prison and Shawshank. Right. Because that's also another Easter egg with Shawshank Redemption and stuff like that. And Shawshank plays a big role in the...
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Whole entire Stephen King
universe.
Yeah. But yeah.
When Ronnie was in detention with Will, I must say I love that kid. Such a great kid. Such a great addition to the series. I really like him. Can't wait to see, you know, his story and how he becomes close with Ronnie or whatever happens with him. But her seeing Lily being taken by the cops, and she's furious. And when she goes to Lily's house that night, and she's bamming on the door, and the mom goes to the door, comes to the door, because, you know, Ronnie's also looked at as being crazy because her father is this so-called killer in town. She's pissed, and I get it. She's angry. She's calling for Lily. What's going on? This is before Lily goes to the grocery store, because after Lily had that incident at the grocery store, you see them taking a ride to Juniper Hill or Juniper, the mental hospital. Yeah. And that was really sad. I do feel like her in the car with her mom and the way her mom was, I felt like in that instance, that was it. It did, yep. Because there's no way that the mother is going to sit there with no emotion and just kind of looks at her to like get out of the car and not cause a scene. And the way that the two nurses are standing there looking at her, like I said, the looks that these people have in this town is just, it's just creepy. You know, something's going on, but I felt bad for her because she's back at the mental hospital, even after, you know, talking to the police chief, but because of that incident at the grocery store, mom's like, you know, can't have you here.
No,
something's
because,
wrong.
Exactly. Because yeah. everybody's seen what you did at the supermarket. You're making yeah. too much of a scene, and you need to get psychiatric help again because right. this is happening again.
Right.
And, you know, I just felt bad. It's just bad situations between Veronica and her.
Yeah.
And it's just these situations and it manipulating everybody. The mental hospital is also going to be another thing that's going to be manipulated yes. by it.
Yes.
You cannot get away from it no matter which way you turn.
Right. Right.
So it's just something about dairy that is just very poisoning to everyone.
Yeah.
But,
you know, yeah. yeah. I also want to speak on, you know, just, and this is just a little side thing. The little girl that is friends with Lily, who wants Lily to be part of the patty cakes, you know, and the patty cakes, you guys know, are the girls, the little popular girls in school with the mean girls. But, you know, that's the group that they want to be with. but how she looks at her when she's with Ronnie, and she's really sad because she's trying to call herself saving Lily from being treated bad at school, and wanting other people to see, or the patty cakes to see, that Lily's fine. She's okay. I love how Lily tells her, you know, so-and-so's missing, Maddie's missing, and you're concerned about, I don't care about the patty cakes, but those girls are so evil. And the head girl, Patty, you see, like you said, it manipulates everyone, and you see it even in the kids, because if you notice the way Patty is, when the other girl is being goofy or whatever, there's a limit to that, because it's like she gets very upset with her and wants her to stop getting the attention that she has. So something with them also is just not right.
No. And also, too, I want to mention this. The other thing that made me really creep was another creepy scene with them just clapping their hands.
Yes.
As Lily and Veronica are having that conversation about the stuff that they're in.
Right.
Because of the fact with the father, and also with her, with Veronica herself.
Right.
Well, Lily herself. And, you know, and the more they're talking, the louder the clapping is getting.
Yeah.
It made me paranoid to the fact of, like, I'm afraid to even hear anyone clap because of how loud everything is and amplified to a 10. And then it's feeding off this energy of, like, something big is going to happen.
Yes.
And then, like you said before, with the patty cakes, which is a stupid name. I don't want to know.
Right.
I'm in the patty cakes. Okay. But she even looked at Lily's friend. Didn't you just wear that yesterday? Wasn't that Lily's sweater? I'm like, she didn't shut up.
Yeah. I'm like, what? just the way that she just stopped that, and she's just so mean and just changes everything to, didn't you wear that yesterday? Yeah. So, you know, I've been keeping my eye on those girls too, whenever they're in a scene together, because something's not right there. And the head girl is just, she's just not right.
No.
Miss Patty. Yes.
Yeah. So then we have the military base again. Yeah. We now know they are working on what they're trying to use us. They want to stop a nuclear missile before Russia can hit the USA and Cuba. They want to find it and use it as a weapon for fear to fight enemies. Lily's mom dropped her off at Juniper Grove. We mentioned that. Military found it. Dick is responsible for what's happening and stuff, because now it, and then whenever they pull up the car with the skeletons in it, it gave me flashbacks of Indiana Jones. With the Ark and stuff. And the skeletons, it gave me those kind of vibes, but it looks like the same car that we got introduced to in the first episode of that opening episode.
Right. Huh.
So that's what it looked like to me, was it's using the same car to capture kids to feed off that. That's what he did to Teddy.
Right. I love how you do these deep dives.
It's just stuff that I try to pay attention to in little small details that I try to dial myself in. But it's just stuff like that that just gives me gives me goosebumps, because of the fact that he used this as a weapon and anybody can use anything as a weapon, right? Happens to be it used the weapon of the car, which is a vessel for these dark beings to carry another passenger to do harm to somebody else.
Right.
So it's just something that I was just thinking about.
I love that. Yeah, like I told you, I'm going to have to go back and watch It 1 and 2. It's been a long time since I watched. And I think a lot of us should do that, so that when we watch this from here on out, we can really bring it all together. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely going to do a rewatch.
Right. And there's also the other kid that has a crush on one of the patty cakes, too, which is Veronica's. And you think that he would be after the popular girl? No, he's after the nerdy girl.
Yes. The way he's looking at her as he and Will are having this conversation about Will reading the book that he's reading, and just the look that he gives her. I thought it was a really cute scene. And then you see the one girl flipping him off. But yeah, out of all the girls, he was into her.
That's just crazy. I would have actually thought that he would be into Patty, but
not at all.
But I know that you have some Easter eggs that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, let me point some out here. I I thought these are really interesting, so I wanted to talk about them. Let's see. Stan Kirsch, the butcher. Charlotte interacts, and Charlotte is the major's wife. Charlotte interacts with a butcher named Stanley Cleaver. That's what they call him, Kirsch. This name is a reference to Mrs. Kirsch, the character Pennywise impersonates when adult Beverly Marsh visits her old home in It Chapter 2. There's also the sign that I wanted to talk about, the Banger Chew. A sign for Banger Chew tobacco can be seen, a nod to Bangor, Maine, the real-life city that Stephen King used as the inspiration for the fictionary town of Derry. So that was interesting. Let me do one more, and then I'll let you do yours. Let's see. Cool. The Bradley gang car that we were talking about. At the end of the episode, the military unearths an old car that is an artifact from the Bradley gang massacre of 1935 and a historical event in Derry where the gang was gunned down and Pennywise was reportedly involved, which you were just speaking on. So those are some of the fun facts that I found.
Okay. Let's see here. Preston 1120 says, when y'all think Pennywise will show up? So I'm going to go, after I've answered this question, I'm going to go into my little Easter eggs. But okay. Preston, my thing is this. This is a TV show that has like 8 episodes. So everybody wants Pennywise right away. Everybody has to remember this isn't a 2.5-hour movie to where we actually have to have Pennywise in certain scenes. So I'm not saying that that's what you're saying or anything like that. That's just me telling you how I feel about it. But I believe that we were going to get him in either the 7th episode or the 8th episode. Because you have to have him in there in the last 2 episodes, I think, in order to wrap this up, to actually give Pennywise a presence and also to show him being in the drain and stuff like that and how it links over to the Losers Club. Because I think you need to have that story coincide with each other. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? But what do y'all know if they said Eddie's mom is supposed to be in Derry in this timeline of the rest of the kids from 2017 movies family?
Hmm.
Let me think. Because that's a good question, because I didn't think about Eddie's mom, to be honest with you. Welcome to Derry. I wonder if she might be one of the patty cakes.
Could she be one of the patty cakes?
Eddie's mom, welcome to Derry, likely refers to a character Sonia Hasbrack. Stephen King said that after the praise used in discussions about the character. So nothing's been said yet, but it's something that we will keep an eye on since you have a question about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do appreciate you bringing that up because I forgot all about Eddie's mom might be in this as well.
Right.
Because of the fact, you know, I'm solely focused on the Losers Club's parents. I didn't think, and I forgot about Eddie. But, yeah, I'll keep an eye on that.
His comment, the Maddie hitchhiking thing was giving Gacy vibes due to the Pennsylvania billboard he looked at. Find it ironic they came out with that doc on him around the same time as they came out with this. Huh.
Well, here's the thing, though. Everybody's thinking that this has anything to do with Gacy and stuff.
Right.
It's not anything like that. Because there's actually an It documentary on HBO Max as well. You guys can check out.
Cool.
So it dives into how we came up with the idea of it and also to the miniseries documentary as well. Nice. So if you guys want to check that out, they have that over there. And do you all know if they said Eddie's mom is supposed to be? Okay, I already talked about that.
But I get the clown, the balloons. I get where you're going with that.
Right, I do too.
Yeah.
But okay, so you know how we have like the start intro of the artwork and stuff like that of the opening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one part where you have a fire happening and these children are running, right?
Right.
So get this. That's actually part of the town history. And that's the explosion of the Kitchener Ironworks. And one of the biggest tragedies in Derry history is the ironworks explosion in 1908. the Kitchener Ironworks exploded during an Easter egg hunt, killing a total of 102 people, including 88 children. This event is mentioned in the novel, and it is the haunt that haunts a young Ben Hanscom after he learns about it at the Derry Library, which is in It Chapter 1.
Okay.
So I remember him digging through the files and stuff that and looking at that. It movie, it's... Okay, so Dick, we also know that he's part of The Shining. So a young Norbert Keen is in, actually in this. And when Charlotte Hanlon is walking down the street of Derry, she walks by a young man smoking outside a local pharmacy. Right. The man gives her a polite nod, and Charlotte smiles at him. This young man is known as none other, young Norbert Keen, the pharmacist from Buscetti's movies. In the movie, Keen was a creepy pharmacist who gave Eddie Krasbeck his medication and who Bev Marsh distracted while the rest of the losers stole medical supplies to attend an injured Ben Hanscom. So that's also in It Chapter 1.
Okay.
Richie Tozer is... Okay, so we talked about Stan Kirsch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about that. That's the butcher... Pennywise, yellow eyes, which is what the vagina and all that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Secondhand Rose.
Yes, Secondhand Rose. Will and,
yep, you talked about that or you have that one?
I have that. Okay. Let's see. Leroy Hanlon buys a telescope for his son, Will, from this thrift shop in It Chapter 2, a older version of the shopkeeper played by Stephen King in a cameo, sells Bill... Denbo, his childhood bicycle, Silver.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention is this, okay? So you remember Rich, the kid who had the crush on the geeky girl from Patty Cake, right?
Yeah.
Now get this. You know how we're dealing with racism and then we're dealing with Cuba and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So into this mix, you also have a Cuban kid. He's actually supposed to be Cuban. So just think about it like this. You have different racism going on in this whole entire series. You have a Cuban that's going to school, but they're also trying to beat Russia too, while the military is also trying to beat Russia from attacking us.
Right.
And stuff. So you have different layers to this show that just pulls on different things.
Right.
And it's just some things that I learned about Rich from watching the after credit stuff, after watching the second episode.
Right.
But I just want to bring that up.
Nice.
So let's see here. So in the detention, Ronnie and Will end up in detention for different reasons. And the whole Ronnie paces back and forth in front of the chalkboard. Some of the writing on it is visible. One of those messages reads, Mike loves Christine. And while this is definitely about a girl from school, King fans will remember the possessed 1958 Plymouth Fury from the novel Christine.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, also, the alleyway. Charlotte passes a specific alleyway, which is the same location where the Young Losers Club later comes together for the first time to help a bleeding Ben Hanscom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if you mentioned that, but I missed it, but yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I love that. I love how it all just intertwines with all of his movies. It's really interesting.
It really is.
Yeah, the Easter eggs are awesome.
And, you know, I've read the book and everything. I only read it once because it's thick. It's like a 1,779-page book.
Right.
And I remember just with all the history and stuff. Matter of fact, guys, I am going to try and put out a video of the town history and stuff like that. If you guys are interested in that, go ahead and vote on that on the community post. But I think there was, I want to say that's pretty much everything I wanted to mention as far as this goes. But, you know, I like the fact that they were having Dick be the one who winds up being shocked at the fact of what they're using this weapon for. But they don't tell him. But once he sees that car, he's like, oh, crap.
Right.
I'm involved in something a lot more darker than this.
Right.
Let's see here. Preston says, Ronnie and Maddie going through it, especially Maddie. Little dude had to go through all that. Just wanted to see a movie. I agree. I agree, dude. I definitely agree. You know what else is messed up, though? And I told Rossi this before the show starts. Do not get attached to the characters.
Right.
Because of the fact that if they would have stopped it back in the 1960s, we would not have the Losers Club.
Right.
So another thing is, Veronica, I don't think she's going to be making it too long. Because when Bev is actually brushing her hair, you can hear Veronica talking to her through the drain.
Right.
So I think she's going to be exit-nay-nay out of there.
Yeah.
So watch me nay-nay. But no, seriously, but you know, I really have to say this show is very good.
Yes.
Rossi and I love talking about this show.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to add as far as this review goes?
No, that's it. I can't wait for the next episode. I'm loving this. It's so good.
It's really good. And then like I said, if you're a Stephen King fan like I am, you're going to be eating this up like nonstop. And Andy Muschietti is the perfect person to do this series. But he was doing the nay-nay in that card. For sure. For sure, dude.
I love that.
Now I want to, you know what, though? You just gave me inspiration to put Watch Me Nay-Nay and have that car scene being played.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That'd be a good short.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that's everything that we wanted to talk about. Rossi, I know that you have a show coming up at 9:30 Central Standard Time and
7:30 Pacific Standard Time. Yes. Right. Our video game segment is back. So you guys can join me at 7:30 Pacific Time Standard. We're going to be live only here on Movie Lovers Unite. And we're going to talk about some topics that's going on in gaming. So I can't wait for my guys to join me at It's Trust, Padawan Frito. And yes, you guys, Jedi Master Tuck is back with us. So come and let's talk games tonight. Let's have fun and talk games, guys.
Great. And guys, I just want to let you know, I will be back on Thursday at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. But I will be doing a live review of The Faculty. You guys voted for that one to be live. And that's what we're going to do. I know I've been pushing it back, but we're doing it. We're finally doing it. I have my good friend from the Joker Unleashed Facebook page that I actually help admin with, and he's going to be coming in here and he's going to help me with that review. So guys, do me a favor. If you like what you're seeing here, Preston, please join our community. It's a great community that Rossi and I are trying to build together. Don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe button, share button, let everybody know about Movie Lovers Tonight. Take us on the go on audio podcast where you guys get your podcasts from. Give us a 5-star rating over there. And get you guys some merch, because it is getting that season 4. You guys will be doing some shopping.
Yes.
So, and I will be making some new designs soon. So check that out. And that's going to be it, guys. I hope everyone has a great and safe night. And thank you again, Rossi. I do appreciate it, as always.
Of course. Bye, Joey. Thank you. Bye, you guys.
Bye, Joey. Bye, Preston. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for the love and support. Thank you, Clint. And we are out, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beat when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.